Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I know it has been a second or two since we've done a show. I think my last show was in April. I am so busy, you would not believe the things that I have gotten myself caught up in, twisted into, and it's taken me away from my radio, and I'm going to get back to it. I have no other choice now. I have a lot of things going on and a lot of guests that I'm trying to get on. So I'm back in the studio, I guess you may say, back on the air. Before we get started, this is Say Your Peace Radio Network, and I am the host, Salita McCall. I've been doing this, I think, going on 5 or 6 years now. Change the names, different people come in and out. I have to stay because it's my show. So before we get started, I want to inform people of one event that's happening June 7th here in Louisiana. We have a rally with Leader Brown, which is a very good friend of mine, and I'm so mad that I'll be out of pocket when he does his rally this time. And his rally is Justice and Stop the Violence, Police Brutality. He's got a real good lineup. It's going to be June 7th in Iberia Parish, New Iberia. It's going to be at the courthouse at 10 to 1 p.m. So I'm encouraging you, if you have been paying attention to the news lately, of all the different things that are starting to happen with our police departments locally and all over the nation, actually, brutalizing our citizens for crazy things. One of the young men that he is rallying for, his name is Victor White. And Victor White was a victim of a shooting that happened in the backseat of a police car in New Iberia, Louisiana. We still to this day don't know how you handcuff somebody and then they shoot themselves. So that was one of the motivation behind this and a lot of other issues. Leader Brown is definitely behind and trying to find, I don't want to say cure, but an answer to what has happened. And I'm inviting you guys to go out and be part of something for change, and we need that. That's one announcement. Also, Mr. Floyd Hamilton, who is a veteran, his dad died in our local veteran hospital here by the hands of a doctor who is still there, who is illegally licensed, and he has previously done some rallies, and I've been, matter of fact, I did a video for him on his last rally, and he's keeping me in contact and up to date with different places that he's going. So, you guys, there's a lot of stuff going on that, you know, we go on with our everyday life, and we don't pay attention to the things that are happening to our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, and we're hurting. And African Americans, black folks, we got to stop this. We've got to find a cure or an answer to what is ailing us as a people and then the people who are hurting us. So, you know, you guys, that's the activist side of me. looking for justice, if nothing else. And we know how that is when it comes to the system nowadays. Now, let's get into our interview. Tonight we have on our show Angel Sessions of California. What part of California are you from, Ms. Sessions?
I'm in Hayward, California. That's next to Oakland and San Francisco, Berkeley.
Oh, okay. You are what we call the big stars.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what? I want you to tell, because, see, I know something about you, but the listening audience doesn't know about you. So what I would like for you to do is kind of tell your story to us.
Yes, hello, everyone, and I'm Angel Sessions, and I am an urban gospel recording artist. I've been in the business for 17 years. I am a singer-songwriter. I've had very many great things that did happen in my music career, and I am very passionate in what I do. I am currently working on my 9th album, which I will be coming out, it will be coming out next month in June. I'm hoping the 17th, that's the date I chose. I'm excited about my new album, as I am in all of the albums that I do. I've worked with the past first two albums. I mean, I do urban gospel music, but in the beginning of my career, I was with Ichiban Records out of Atlanta, Georgia, and then Vote Records, which Fantasy Records reactivated. And I came out with my very first two albums, which was Introducing Angel, and I had a single on there that I did a duet with LJ Reynolds of the Dramatics, and that song was called Hello Love. And then the next album was Love Ride. We went with Folk Records because Ichiban at the time, it, you know, folded. So they were very much welcomed me, and they loved the album that I recorded out of Atlanta, Georgia, and some here in the Bay Area. And Love Ride was, you know, a lot of viewers, a lot of, you know, great things happened. Got a lot of great write-ups in Rolling Stone magazine, the Billboard magazine, and radio airplay, and gather a lot of wonderful, awesome fans that support me. You know, but my love and passion is still urban gospel, and I went back to my roots. Just, you know, always wanted to do things, you know, to glorify my Heavenly Father. And so back in 2005, that's when I just decided, you know, because I write my own music, my style is kind of unique. I do love to use the scriptures a lot, you know, writing around the scriptures and some things, you know, some songs of my, words of my own, of course. And whomever the Lord allows to hear it and may penetrate, you know, his words in their heart and perhaps save them. So I'm just passionate about what I do and passionate to all the lovely people out there because I love, you know, people so much, and just to God be the glory to whom he might say, this is why I do what I do, that, you know, he may get the glory.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Since people can't see what I see, you're not telling the whole thing. I'm looking at the people. You've rolled with some heavy hitters on here, huh?
I have worked with a lot of awesome, legendary artists. We did a duet. This was it was called A Brand New Start, and it was with me, Lenny Williams, William Hart of the Delphonics, Brenda Holloway, Frida, and just me. So it was four of us, and it was a great song. We did a video with it as well. I also recorded with or did background vocals on an Earth, Wind, and Fire's album. I did a duet with Ollie Woodson, a song called Vow, which was on Down and Dirty, the movie with Fred Williamson. I did open up for a lot of awesome acts. I wrote a song for Brenda Holloway on her album, It's a Woman's World. And, I mean, I did so much in my career. It's kind of hard to just, you know, captivate all that as far as what I've done. But it's, you know, I've just grateful to God for, you know, all the things that I was able to do and I'm currently still doing, and I'm just excited.
I mean, I'm looking, I'm like, man, awesome. You've been very, very busy. Now,
yeah.
Tell me, what could you tell some up-and-coming artists? You know, what I've noticed is a lot of people want to do hip-hop and all that. Tell us kind of what to look forward to if they were looking into getting into the gospel industry, gospel music industry. What should they look
for? What should they look for?
Yes.
Yeah, well, mainly I think when it comes to if they write it or someone else may write it for them, it's pretty much the same in the industry as if you're doing maybe secular music as far as shopping a recording contract deal or maybe perhaps doing it yourself. And, you know, the motivation should be once they complete their recording song, they can either, you know, put it out themselves via lots of great you know, distribution out there, you know, whether it be CD Baby or TuneCord or another distribution they may want to merge with, which may be a major distribution. You know, there's so many out there. Or, you know, pretty much market and promote, because labels definitely are looking, but mainly for indie acts, they definitely have to do a lot of work in themselves, because once you believe in you and you do finance your own project, as well as marketing promotion as well, and the numbers start moving as far as sales, you know, the labels can see that, and they'll get totally interested in if they like what they hear. So it's best to just, you know, don't just record and then believe that that's all you have to do. It really does take a lot of arm work to really market the moment and get it out there, whether it be you or your manager or someone helping you to do that. And it can happen. You just got to keep pushing.
So do you encourage indie, or do you encourage people searching for labels?
You know, I actually encourage both, because it's hard to say, because if the label is the right deal for you, I should say, if the contract is structured towards not only the label themselves but the artist, you know, I would never suggest them not to sign, you know, if it's right for them. It just depends on how the contract is structured. You know, there's just, because the social media, which is great, what's happening today, but then it can have some downfalls simply because there's so many musical artists out there that are trying to get their way in to get their music heard. It can become oversaturated. So there are things you have to know as far as getting your music heard. And you know, I encourage those to do their research and read a lot of information online. You can teach yourself pretty much by just looking up information, how to market yourself, how to brand your name, how to brand your and market your music, and ways of trying to get your music sold or sold. You know, definitely learn the business to get your music, as far as, you know, register through BMI if you're a songwriter, or ASCAP or CSAC, you know, or do Media Base, you know, or do Nielsen SoundScan. Those are very important to do as far as copywriting your songs as well, so that you can protect yourself. But both ways can be good. It just depends on, you know, if right now, let's just say, you know, record companies definitely are not just going to sign you just because you sound good. You know, they spend millions of dollars into an artist, so they definitely want to make sure what numbers are moving, how many units have you sold, you know, how many fans do you have, you know, or your showcase when you're performing. These are the things that they look at in order to, if they're interested in an artist, you know. Other than that, you really have to basically do a lot on your own. And if you believe in yourself, do that on your own. Perhaps their label can see that, and they'll get interested in you simply because they see numbers, and that means something to them, simply because, you know, if they're going to invest in you, they want to make sure they're investing in their right investment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's encouraged, in other words, like you said, for people who are interested to look at both options.
Absolutely.
And that's the fear. One of the fears, and I don't want to make it sound negative, but the fear is it is oversaturated. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to, you know, be that entertainer or that artist. What drove you to continue, I mean, even with the bad times and the good times, what drove you to continue down the path that I'm going to make this happen, this is going to be successful? How did you handle that?
So grateful you asked me that question. You know, because I have this passion in what I do, and you're right. There are sometimes I hear along the way a lot of some people can be very negative, especially because, let's just say, because I do gospel music, they think that, oh, that's just, you know, that's not going to sell. And they can be very discouraging because they look at how long you've been in it or your age or whatever, you know, or just look at you as though you're nothing or you're just an up-and-coming because they've never heard of your name. You know, I'm not a bragging kind of person that go around telling people what I've done. I just keep it moving and keep pushing, because I feel that although all the things I've done, I haven't crossed that next plateau yet. You know what I'm saying? And I really am motivated to continue to move because I really want to. I love my fans. I want to be able to, you know, get out there on stage and travel around the world. I've been around, totally around the United States, but I mean just really being able to get out there and break and in the way where even though I can't say I'm not known nationally, I am and internationally, but I mean to the point where I can feel in my heart this is where I want to be as far as I finally made it, you know, and I'm not still, you know, struggling in some ways. You know, it just depends on what kind of struggling a person may look at. But for me, you know, until I reach where I'm trying to go, that's what motivates me to keep going. In spite of all the negativity I may see come my way or disappointments or whatever, that never stops me. And then the more I write, the better I write. I'm not, like, maybe 500-something songs or more, you know. But I think the more you do, the better you become. And you just keep focused. But the main thing for me is, if you're doing it for the right reason, if you're just doing it for the money's sake, you know, you're actually in it for the wrong reason. So I'm not doing it for the money's sake. It is the passion of what I do, you know, and I'm serious at what I do, which keeps me going. This is not a hobby. You know, I take what I do very serious, you know, so that keeps me going. And at the same time, I love helping other people, you know, other artists that have questions or how can they, you know, get to the next level, what do they have to do. I love being able to share knowledge, but that keeps me going until I feel like, okay, finally, you know, I'm where I want to be.
Very interesting. Now, have you gone out of the country yet? Is that an aim or a goal?
I will love to go out of the country. The only out of the country of in the United States was Guam, which was an awesome experience. I did go to perform. And they treated me so wonderfully, you know, the radio stations, the fans, it was just magnificent. But that's as far as I've gone. I was going to go to Japan, but that didn't never happen. And they were looking forward for me to come because my album, Love Rock, I mean, not Love Rock, Introducing Angel, you know, hit big and did well there. You know, I just didn't get a chance to go over there. So I'm hoping that will be an opportunity, you know. But, you know, to God be the glory, wherever his will is, wherever, you know, he decides, you know, because he knows what's best for me. So I just keep pushing, but, you know, let God's will be done, whatever door he may open for me.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to attempt to play one of your songs. I'm saying attempt because I told her earlier before we came on air, you guys, that I was having issues with downloading her music. It's two songs I'm mesmerized in, and now they've mixed up. I've got them mixed up in my head that I really loved it. I mean, they were awesome, and now I'm because I can't remember what the name of it was.
Like you said, it was Chasen or something.
Yes, I think it was Chasen. Just a second here. Thank you. Okay. Now that was.
You got him, you don't.
Okay, now tell me, what was the inspiration behind that one?
Yes, I wrote that song, actually. I got the track was made by Antonio Tizon Street. He's a platinum producer who's produced, worked with Def Jam Records, Island Records, and recorded for Mary J. Blige and Keith Sweat, R. Kelly, and Biggie Smalls, and so many people. And he presented that track to me, and in 15 minutes, you know, it's like I was already loving the music, and I felt it, and the song came to me, and I wanted to share with many people, you know, the song is called You Got Him, You Don't, because there's many people that God has truly saved through his word, and God is the only one that can do the saving in giving salvation, because it's a free gift, but it's not something we ourselves can give. You know, it's something that God gives to whom he wills to save. And then there are those who don't have them, even those who may believe that they have become saved. You know, but God does say that we shall know them, you know, by the fruits they bear. You know, only those who God has truly saved will know, because God says that the Spirit will witness to our spirit that we are children of God. You know, so to whom God has saved, God knows who they are. We can't see the hearts of men. You know, we can only, you know, within ourselves know if God truly has saved us. And that's really what the song is basically about. You know, either you got him or you don't, you know, and just these words just came to me. And I know it sounds like a simple song, but that's basically what it's saying. And it's very important because whereas our you know, life is short, you know, and we don't know what tomorrow holds, but more than anything else, you know, the purpose of living is to live for Christ. You know, and to whom God wills to save, which is a beautiful gift and a wonderful miracle to God to save any of us, because none of us deserve his salvation. He is a darling, awesome, wonderful, magnificent God, you know, that created us, you know, and it's just the mercy of him to save anyone. So this is what the song is basically just about, you know, either you got him or you don't.
How do you prepare yourself starting to or begin to write your song? How do you prepare yourself? Do you, I mean, some people, like being an author, we have different ways of being inspired to write. What is your inspiration to write the songs that you do?
Well, sometimes my inspiration, it could be like mainly I love listening to, because even though I don't compose the music track of it itself, I just write and I create melody and do all my own background vocals and lead vocals. I listen to the music, and I sit with it, and I vibe with it, and sometimes it takes maybe, it just depends, maybe 3 days, maybe 1 hour, it just depends. I don't, you know, like to just rush when I write a song. I really want to make sure that, you know, the musician or the music producer who created the track, when I write to it and I arrange to it, that it fits like a hand in a glove, or as I say, peanut butter and jelly. And not just thrown together any kind of way. I always create and think in my head a hit record, you know, radio friendly, something that's radio friendly, the hook, you know, or the chorus that people can remember, you know, and can sing along, maybe even a 2-year-old, you know. And I always pray to God and ask God before I write to lead and guide me how he wants me to structure the song, because I a lot of times don't know what it is I may write about or say. And then I'll just open up the Word of God and I'll just start reading, and then all of a sudden it'll just hit me, you know, and then I'll just start writing. Maybe sometimes the hook comes first and then I'll write around it. Maybe sometimes the verse comes first and then I'll write around that. But mainly just the music as I vibe to it, and then sometimes it takes a couple of days or maybe a day or maybe 15 minutes or so. And then once I begin to write to it, you know, and once I feel it, I'm extremely excited. Can't wait to go in the studio and cut it. But the main thing is the outcome of it. Sometimes I'll get in the studio and then I'll end up changing some of the way I was going to originally do it, because I always want to just make my song better. And each song I create, I always wanted to be the best or better than the last song I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Now, where do you grab your, when I say, okay, do you use any type of real life experience when you're writing? in your song?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like, it's sometimes, like, my personal walk with Christ, you know, what God has opened my eyes to and taught me through his word, you know, I will write about, you know, or sometimes I have, you know, friends and just people in general in the world that may go through a situation, you know, and I'll write about that. The latest song I remember I wrote, which is on my new album coming out next month, this song is called Hearts of Broken Love. So I named that as the title of the album because, this, you know, people's hearts are failing them, you know, and it just seems so like the world's grown cold. It's like God's word says, you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And just so many, like you were telling me about what was going on and this event that you would wish to be at and just what happened in that police car and how, you know, the person that was in the back car, how did he just shoot himself? I mean, just so many bad things happening. It breaks my heart to hear these kind of things. And just so I wrote that song, you know, mainly for others they can relate to and to whomever God touches the hearts, they can say yes. That I can relate to that song.
Now yeah. I'm going to attempt. I keep saying attempt, you guys, because I want to make sure I'm doing this right. Another song. In order for you guys to hear it on the air. I think this is the one I fell in love with. This is one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Now, I really like that song. I like that.
Thank you.
It's actually a song that has several meanings to it. Well, from what I took from it, it sounds like will you be ready when God comes? And then it's
right.
Like, will you be ready when a situation happens in your life? How would you handle that situation? Will you be ready? Was that correct? Was
absolutely. That? Yep, you're right. It was. I wrote that song because I was actually going through a situation, very hard situation, and I just had to do a lot of praying that God would get me through that situation, and that's what made me write that song. But you're absolutely right, exactly for both.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured because, I mean, the words are awesome. And like you said,
Thank you. Even though you
hear the words and they might be simple, but the power behind the music and when you put the combination of the words and the music together, that's what makes a song, regardless of what is being said. And I'm
Yes.
You said earlier you listen to the music first. You hear the track.
Yes.
You make sure you can get that mellow and that it matches with what you're trying to say. I love music. I'm not a songwriter. I write poetry and I write books, but I cannot. But I can kind of grasp that. And I think any writer, whether you write songs or whatever, I think a writer knows that. It has to be a melody somewhere in what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you don't
absolutely.
That melody is not combined, it doesn't come out right. And you know that. And you know, you
absolutely.
Can feel it. So you go back to the drawing board again.
Absolutely.
And I like that about music in general. But a lot of people don't understand that. And that the song, just that song right there was, to me, very, it opened up a lot of doors in a sense of thinking that, you know, really, will you be really, truly ready if this situation happened? A lot of us can't handle situations. A lot of us don't know to go, you know, pray and ask God to help you with it. And, you know, they say he never gives you no more than you can bear. Sometimes we think he doesn't do that. We think that he's left us and he's walked away, when in reality he's right there. He's waiting for you. And sometimes he don't help us at all. He wants us to do it ourselves to see if we've learned from our past experiences and we've learned from what he's already taught us. You know, from the things that he has gotten us out of. He's sitting back and saying, well, dog, are they still using the same tools? Obviously they're not, because they haven't found their way out of this situation.
Yeah, I believe some situations we experience in our lives, it's like teaching us patience. You know, sometimes God doesn't always, you know, answer your prayers right away. It just depends. He's a perfect God, and he knows when the right time comes, you know, when he answers your prayers. And sometimes he'll send you through things to draw you closer to him, you know, and teach us to trust him more, to teach us to be patient with God, because he's such a patient God. And he's long-suffering, and we have to be the same, long-suffering, and God gives us the ability to be, and it depends on sometimes the situation that you may go through. And then you'll look back and realize when God brings you out of that was, it could be a chastisement, because God is drawing you close because he loves you, you know, and you're one of his, and so you go through these things for reasons, you know, and you thank God after a while when you realize, wow, thank you, God. You know, maybe it's because there was something, maybe a sin in the person's life, and they realized I didn't need that, and I needed to go through this, and they realized that afterwards, that once they had been chastised, how, you know, thanking God for that because he loves them and to correct them through his word. You know, this things that we go through, it's mainly to hopefully to teach us to be patient, you know, because we don't know what we're going to go through. It is hard sometimes when we get, because we're human. You know, and we get, you know, I know me sometimes, you know, I get like, oh, antsy, you know, and feeling like anxiety sometimes when I'm going through so much situations, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. And I have to just realize when I go to his word to pray and read his word and think about what his word says, and his word comforts me through my struggles or through the hard times or through a situation, he comforts me. And then when I get through, I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you for bringing me through that and just lean on his everlasting arm through his word.
Yeah, you're correct with that. Now, have you noticed, and this might be a really crazy question, but have you noticed the change in the temperature of the industry, both secular and gospel? Have you seen the change in it?
I have, yeah, very much. You know, I remember like in the secular world, you know, when R&B was very popular, beautiful music, lyrics was awesome, melody. Everyone just loved and just vibing to it, and it was just, you know, the radio program directors would just be playing it, and it was just so much wonderful then. And it's changed because R&B is not as strong. They're trying to bring it back, and they are. You know, it's just that it's not where it once was, and everyone's trying to do things like everybody else is doing. They're not being themselves anymore. You know, they're trying to go by the trinity. Oh, I got to do what this person's doing because that's what's hot right now, but that's not themselves. And eventually what's going on right now, eventually that's going to grow old. They get old. People are really hungry for what was. You know, they want back what they used to have. They don't really like what they're hearing today. Everything has changed to, you know, a lot of auto-tones on people's voices or the tinny music or the, you know, the same old you hear all the time. And it used to be where you had lots of wonderful artists and you can pick and choose from, you know, and now it's like you don't hear but a few on the radio, which is why the internet is so oversaturated with lots of new acts, you know, and this is how the labels are looking for their acts simply online because they're searching for those who have a following or what they're doing because, you know, it's only but a few that you hear, and it's sad at the same time because it's difficult more so now to get in if you're trying to get a deal in that way. So I definitely agree with you. It has changed in a tremendous way, both in secular and gospel.
Yeah. And it's just amazing how I love music, but I hunger for something different. And the difference is not out there. I mean, I hunger not only for something different. I hunger for, like you say, of old. The music back then was great music. You had great musicians. It was nothing pre-programmed. This was natural, raw music. You don't get
that.
Thing is computer-generated, voice from the voices to the lyrics of the song. You know, everything is computer-generated. And I think, in a sense, technology, it's great. But I think, in a sense, when it comes to music, it's taken away some of the rawness of music.
Right. You're right. And that's what I hear as well. You know, a lot of the music is not as pure, you know. It's not like the great vocalists you used to hear. You know, everything is like you can not sing at all, and they'll put all this autotune in your voice and make you, you know, sound like a robot or whatever they do, you know. And the music is, like you said, it's kind of like I consider it canned music, you know. It's just not as raw and rich and real like it used to be back in the day. When you just really loved it and enjoyed it, and they hit you here way back then, people are now starting to, like the new, like the young kids today, they're listening to a lot of the old school records, and they're loving it. You know, you can go on YouTube and look at all the old school records that are still getting thousands and millions of hits because that seems like that's what they're missing. They love that. Based on the new stuff today, they're like, they're not feeling it. Most of the, you know, unless they just, a diehard fan, then they'll support you because of that reason. But other than that, you know, music has definitely changed, and I'm missing what was. And I try to stay original for myself and try not to follow the trinity.
Exactly. And even with gospel music has gone, I don't want to sound negative, but gospel music has taken on that trait of the music of today. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? Not all.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of it has lost its luster, and what the true meaning behind gospel music is supposed to be. And
right.
It's hard to actually listen to gospel music, you know what I'm saying? Because it sounds like you're listening to secular music, and there is supposed to be a difference. And I know I've heard the saying that, well, we're trying to reach the young people with the music. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but the young people are not the ones who always buy the CDs and buy the music. You understand what I'm saying? It's usually a lot of the mature people, the adults that buy the music. So, and I've not only have I said this, but I've had other older adults say the same thing, that the music is not the same. It's not like it used to be, and it's gotten into, like, secular music has creeped in and taken away from the spiritual, the deep heart spiritual music that used to be, you know, like you said, used to be popular.
Right.
We can get back to that. Hopefully that can come back, like you were just saying. We could hear that music again, because I think it's very well missed in both industries, and secular music and in the spiritual, in the gospel industry too. I think it's missed. But one type of music that stays the same, and I have to say that, is country music. Country music don't change with everything.
Yeah.
Reason. They stay the same.
Right. Yeah, they do have some country pops out there, and it has changed a little bit. You know, if you hear Taylor Swift, she's country, but when you listen to her, she sounds pop.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
I forgot about her. I'm not a fan of hers, but I forgot about
her. Yeah.
About her. Now, have you done any concerts or anything? You have any upcoming events coming up?
Well, I've just mainly been doing an awful lot of grinding as far as, you know, creating music and getting it out there for my fans. And, of course, next, that's what I am working on, and that is, you know, trying to get a tour going and getting a booking agency for that purpose, because that is such a big plus for any artist who really wants to get their music out there and in front of the fans live and in person. That's what I'm desperately, you know, and excited to want to do. You know, because just to have your music online and selling it and just, you know, that's nice and that's great, but to really get your music out there and so fans really want to hear you and see you, you know. So that's something I'm working on right now. And I just got a lot of great things in store. I'm just not speaking on everything right now because I just want to just, you know, once it comes to pass, then it's something to pretty much talk about, you know. But the main focus now on the shift is the new album that will be my 9th album next month, June 17th, that I'm coming out with. And I am currently getting, you know, radio ads and radio play on the current single, which is He Will Never Leave You. And I'm excited about that. And, you know, wherever God takes me, just allowing him to just lead and guide me and bring the right people in my life, you know, to continue to move forward.
I don't know for sure if what I'm going to do is when we get off the phone, I'm going to send you an email. You were saying you're getting as much radio play. We have a gospel channel, a gospel radio station here that I'm very close with the people that work there. And maybe get one of your CDs sent there and played on the
air. That would be great.
That work? Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll get the answer to you once we get off the air.
Okay.
Now, hold up here. I'm sorry. Now, you haven't done any tours. You're just waiting to do that, but you have other stuff in store. Where have you gone? And when the last time have you done any travel, period?
Well, I have traveled around the United States, and the last actually performance I did, you know, was a couple of years ago, live performance-wise. So I've just been focused mainly now, just now getting back to, you know, finding the right booking agency in order for me to be able to, you know, now advance, you know, getting back. Because for a moment, I think by 2011, you know, for 3 years I took a small break, you know, from the industry for a while. And then when I tapped back into it again, which was the end of 2011, it's been nonstop for me. So now I'm ready now again to start, you know, getting ready to tour, you know, and this is why I'm working on that, because I know that's a big plus. You know, I do have, you know, a lot of, you know, situations happening with, you know, my music and the great reviews I'm getting from the majors labels, and also, you know, perhaps some television, you know, that may use some of my songs for films. You know, so until, you know, all that comes to play, this is pretty much now, you know, everything that I'm kind of working on. So I'm very much excited about that. So, you know, once everything comes together, then, of course, I will have more to share with everyone and my fans, you know, but that's pretty much what I'm working on right now, and especially the tour thing, because that's so important, and mainly a lot of radio airplay, because that also is very important, you know. And again, I do have some support with some of the radio stations that are currently playing, you know, He Will Never Leave You, and just continue to work forward with that, because I know once that happens, then more doors, I believe, will open for me.
Exactly. Because I was thinking about some concerts maybe that can be, you know, pushed around for you. Like you say,
yeah.
Booking agent would be good to get some travel back in again, because I know you would love that. I mean, the exposure, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I also was reading about your daughter.
Yeah, my darling, her Shardella session. She is a wonderful Allison singer. I tell the story all the time because I lost my cassette tape. This is so frustrating to me, because when she was 2 months old, I remember I had this little karaoke box, and I was just practicing my song, and she started singing, so I put the microphone to her mouth, and she was just singing her little baby voice, you know, and I remember saying, this is my daughter, Shardella, she's 2 months, she wants to be a singer like mommy. I put the phone back to her mouth again, she just kept doing it, just this pretty little baby voice. I'm like, wow. I mean, she really was making a lot of, like, baby voice singing, you know, and I remember sharing that with her, and then I discovered her voice when she was 8, actually. I mean, that was when she was 2 months, and then when she was 8 years old, I was on a set with Fred Williamson. We were shooting a film, and I was walking with my cousin who was on the set with me. My daughter was walking behind me, and I remember she was singing to herself because she was very shy back then, and when she did a beautiful riff, I stopped talking to my cousin. I turned around and said, oh, my, Shardella, do that again. And she's like, no, Mommy, I don't remember what I did. I'm like, oh, sweetie, please do it again. And she's all like, oh, I don't remember. I'm like, but that's when I knew, wow, my daughter really had a voice, and she could do this wonderful riff that she did. And so I took her into the studio with me when she was 11, and we did a duet together called Nothing Shall Separate Me. And that's on my He Loves You album, which is on CD Baby. And I did a girl group. I managed my girl group. It was called One Unity. And she was the lead singer. They almost had to deal with Sony Records. And I was their producer. I recorded the whole 12-song album. You know, they traveled. They were on television. They were on the radio. And she just was a great, phenomenal singer. So as she became, now that she's at the age of 22, last year in 2013, I put out an EP on her. And we did five or six songs, and I wrote 3 songs for her, and then she tapped into writing herself. So she just grew into this awesome, phenomenal singer. She kind of reminds people of Aaliyah, but, you know, she has more beautiful case and different, because the girl can riff and sing, and she just has this beautiful voice, and, you know, I'm always encouraging her, so I've been pushing that EP, and now she's currently writing and still, you know, finishing up some stuff so she can go back in the studio and record some new material.
So is she secular or is she gospel?
She's secular. She does R&B.
Okay.
And, yeah, so I wrote a song called I'll Sing, which is on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and she's singing it, and I wrote it, and I'm doing some background vocals with her, And it's a beautiful, lovely track by, again, Platinum Medusa, Tizon Street, Antonio Tizon Street. And it's kind of like it has Millie Riperton in it, actually. And people love that song. It's a beautiful song. And she just did an outstanding job in the vocal ability. She's good in the studio, and she's a good listener when it comes to how I structure, how I produce her vocals.
Now, have you ever thought about teaching music?
I have. I have, I've done a lot of vocal training with students, you know, and I've produced another young lady and did a whole album, 15 songs on her, you know, because I love writing for other people as well. You know, so I have, because I've told you, I've written, over 500 R&B songs, regular songs, before I started into my gospel. So I definitely love to write for other artists as well, and definitely want to tap into that, you know, getting a publishing deal to hopefully write for other artists, major artists as well as indie up-and-coming artists. Yeah.
Okay. We're getting close to running out of time. So what I would like for you to do, Miss Angel, is to tell everyone how they can get in contact with you if they want to book you and how to get a hold to your music.
My music is on iTunes and Amazon, Google Play, and pretty much online where all music is pretty much sold. My website is www.angelsessions.com, which is where they can go to get in touch with me. And I have music, about 8 albums, so they can always find all of my music online. You know, they can either download their favorite tune, 99 cents, or hopefully buy the whole album if they like it, you know, and hopefully they'll support me with that, and because there's just something out there, I believe, for everyone, and especially this new album that's coming out, which is called Hearts of Broken Love, which will be out next month on iTunes, CD Baby and everywhere.
Did you say the 19th of June?
No, 17th. 17th of June.
17th of June.
Okay. Yes.
Angel, I want to thank you so much for your time. I want to thank you for everything, the information. I think you are an awesome person. Even though I've never met you face-to-face, you just seem like you have a spirit that is true and honest, and you just want to do what you love. And I
think
that's
so
awesome. And you're doing it in the name of God. And I just continue doing what you're doing. I promise you are going to be blessed with each and everything that you ask for, you ask and request for from him, as long as you continue to do what you're doing for yourself.
Well, I thank you so much. I glorify God, you know, because all I do is for his glory, and to him be the glory, you know, because I just, you know, want him to get the praise for all that he's done. And thank him so much for you and to all you guys supporters out there, and all my fans and my family and friends. And I love you all and grateful to you for this opportunity. Thank you, Daoud, for introducing me to Saleta. I hope I'm saying your name right.
Salita.
Uh-huh.
It's Salita.
Oh, Salita. Beautiful. I love your name, Salita.
Thank you. So I have to bring you back since your album, and I don't know why I didn't catch you saying that. We're going to have to bring you back once your album come out. Okay?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Definitely. So we're going to bring Miss Angel Sessions back. I want to thank you again, and I want to thank my listening audience. I'm hoping everyone had a great Memorial weekend, and we got 4th of July coming up, so I want you to have a safe and happy 4th of July, even though it's not here yet, but it's coming. Hopefully I'll be able to do another show, and hopefully bringing you back to debut your new album, okay? So
definitely, I love that.
Okay. So I'm going to say good night, and you have a wonderful rest of the week and a safe weekend. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Sorry, you guys. I'm down to 25 seconds. I am so sorry. Accidentally hung myself up. I want to thank everyone who listened in to our show tonight. Thank Angel Sessions, looking for more good things from her coming around. I definitely have to get her back on the show with her. And I want to say you guys have a great week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And please stay tuned for another Say Your Peace Radio Network show. And I want to say goodbye.